Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that we are going to be a place to really learn of you and your word. Lord, we are going to be a people who are going to be hungry. Lord, even as you started the Pentecostal move through Azusa Street, Lord, just a few people gathered, people that most people didn't even want to give the time of day to, Lord. But their hunger for you, their hunger for your presence caused a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and your church that was all but dead came back to life with the power of the Holy Spirit poured out. Lord, we're here, and we want to learn of your ways. We want to be those, Lord God, who are so hungry, and we reach other hungry pastors throughout the nations, Lord God, that there will be an outpouring of apostolic power like the world has never seen before. Lord, we ask it, we believe for it. Lord, we want the miraculous, the extraordinary miracles that Paul had when he taught in that school, Lord. We want those kind of miracles in this place. We want creative miracles. We want healing miracles. We want breakthrough miracles. We want deliverance miracles. We want supernatural, powerful miracles to reveal your power and your glory in this house, Lord. And Father, I thank you that every single person that you bring in this place, you will handpick, Lord God. And Lord, we just give you praise for how you're going to do this thing. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ephesians 1, we did the first part of 1. Let's just go to Ephesians 1, it's hard because it's such a long run-on sentence. I'll just do 1:15, but I'm not re-preaching. I'm just going to read it to catch us up for 2. Because of this, hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love towards all the saints, I also do not cease giving thanks on your behalf, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the full knowledge of him. The eyes of your mind having been enlightened for you to know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us, the ones believing according to the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, yes, and he seated him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all the rules, authority, and power, and lordships, and every name having been named, not only in this age, but in the coming age. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one filling all things in all things. And you being dead in sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also conducted ourselves in times past, in the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed of the flesh and of the understanding, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest were. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even we being dead in sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised up us together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that he might demonstrate in the ages coming the exceeding great riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Everyone knows every single line of that could preach for an hour. So, but I just think we need sometimes just to let it soak in. Amen? This is about Jesus. This is about his power. This is about us wanting to have understanding, to walk in the ways that he walked. We're going to start in Ephesians 2:1. So we were dead in sin. I want everybody to get this. I want you to really get this. If you're struggling with sin, you need to get this revelation today. Because if you're going to constantly go back to sin or be tempted to go back to sin, you don't understand what Christ has done. You don't understand who you are in him. It should not be a struggle to quit sinning. Amen? It should not be a struggle to quit sinning. If it's a struggle to quit sinning, we haven't really given ourselves over to God. We haven't completely said to God, I want to be in your kingdom. I want to do this your way. You don't find the back and forth stuff in the scripture too much. When you do, it's not good news. I'll just be honest. The Bible says if you a dog returns to it vomit, which means it goes back to its old way of living. And it says if you continue to sin after you know Christ, there's nothing left to save you. This is the gospel, people. This is the gospel. He came to save you. He came to deliver you. He is the one who saves you. He is the one who delivers you. He is the everything. It's a different kingdom. It's a different world. We're in his kingdom. And he says, we are dead to sins now. Amen? We are dead. I want you to say, I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. I'm not sinning anymore. I refuse to sin anymore. I'm not going to think about sinning. It's not even going to be a temptation. I am not going to sin. Make sure you're saying what you need to say while you're here this morning. Amen? If you're struggling with sin, if you're in this room and you've been tempted and struggling with sin, I want you to stand up. I don't want you to lie. I want you to stand up. If you've been struggling with sin and you're tempted to sin, I want you to stand up. Okay, and now we're going to declare this in Jesus' name. And we're going to mean it. Because, you know, it says here, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the rule of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience. The enemy wants young people to fall into sexual sin. Even when they're in love and ready to get married and engaged, the enemy wants you to watch pornography, guys. He wants you to go back to filth. He wants people to cuss. He wants you to go back to addiction. He wants you to go back to whatever the flesh, whatever you gave into in the flesh, whatever you would be tempted to give into in the flesh, God says, no. We're different than that. Amen? We're different than that. We don't need to cuss. We don't need to smoke. We don't need to drink. We don't need to do any of these things anymore because we are dead to sin. I want you to say, I am dead to sin. I am completely dead to sin. I am completely dead to sin. I am dead to sin. Let it get inside of you. I am dead to sin. Sin has no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. I want you to listen to this. The word sin means to go against the laws and the ways of your God. The word sin means to go against the laws and the ways of your God and to pervert the things of God. Sex outside of marriage is a perversion to the thing that God has in marriage. Alcohol and drugs are perversion. They're a coping method that gets you into deeper bondage and sin that God has joy for, unspeakable and full of glory. Lying, cheating, stealing, these are all against the ways of God who says he promises to take care of you. I want you to say with all your heart, I am dead to sin. Because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace, God. Saturate me with your grace. I need your grace. I need your supernatural empowerment not to fall into sin. I need your supernatural empowerment to keep me in your hand away from the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sit down, please. It says, you formerly walked according to the course of the world. Look at the word formerly. It means we don't walk like that anymore. Amen? He didn't say some do. No, you formerly walked like that before you knew Christ. You used to do what the ruler of the authority of the air wanted you to do. How many still see the authority of the air in television, movies? Every music, anything that goes over the airwaves that Satan has, how many know Satan has got a louder voice now over the airwaves than he had back before all this stuff was invented, right? Yeah. Satan has a really loud voice over the airwaves. And he says, You used to listen to that. You used to go along with that. And it's the exact spirit that works in all the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all conducted ourselves in time past with the lust of the flesh. Before Christ, we also gave in to the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and the things that flesh understands. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. In other words, we were set up for God's wrath, God's anger, to be a part of our lives, to hit us, to be in that place. And in Christ Jesus, we're hidden from that. That's why in the end days, I don't have to worry. I'm not concerned about if the main reason I want to be raptured before it all happens bad, number one, I don't want to see it. But number two, if that bride gets to get out of here first, I want to be part of the bride. There's one wedding that I want to be at that I do not want to be the bridesmaid or be conducting the service. And that's the bride of Christ. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? So that looks like it happens before Christ's return. So I need to be there, amen? And that's the rapture I believe in. I do believe that half the church doesn't make it according to the parable that Jesus speaks because they're living in the flesh and they're living in the world and they're not in love with Jesus and they're not hungry for Jesus. I think it's going to be a hard thing when they recognize the churches. I also think when the church that is living for God, seriously sold out to God, disappears, I think it's going to be a warning for the rest of the church not to take the sign of the beast. Amen? And everyone here has certain people in their family who are saved but not living it. And you have to recognize that if we are taken out of here because of our love and our obedience to God, then that should be a real wake-up call to those who are left here who did not give their lives fully to God. And if you really look at the way God does things, which is very fair and just, wouldn't it be kind of fair of God to say, you didn't care enough about me, so you're going to stay, and now you're going to have to really decide not to be lukewarm? Didn't God say, Jesus said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth if you're lukewarm? So I personally believe a vomiting out of his mouth is going to come when the rapture comes and the wrath of God comes about the same time. That's what I believe. And I believe those who live lukewarm. So what do we pray for our family? God, help them not be lukewarm. Help them not be lukewarm. Thank you that they're saved, God. Thank you that they're saved. But God, we're in a time where I don't want them to choose to be cold. I want them to choose to be hot. Amen? We need to begin to pray that. We need to pray that over our nation. Amen? We need to pray that over our own lives. Lord, make us hot for you, not lukewarm. Amen? And really, it's the seriousness of Scripture, the seriousness. We've made it, so much of Christianity has made it into a party, and how much fun can I have? And it was never preached like that by the apostles, amen? And it's not preached like that in other nations where they're constantly struggling with persecution. All right. So we are no longer to give into the lust of our flesh, doing what our flesh wants to do, and becoming of the very nature of the children of wrath. But God being rich in mercy, how many love mercy? Let me say what mercy is again. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you deserve. And every one of us can recognize areas where God has given us mercy. First of all, if you got salvation and you don't go to hell, it's merciful. Amen? But there's other areas in your life where you can ask for mercy for little things. And I've told this story before. It just stands out in my heart the most. But after Lauren died, and it had nothing to do with that really, but a lot of people were compassionate towards my family when that happened. It was in the papers and everything. And so when I took my son to a birthday party and I hit the mailbox and took the mailbox down on the way out. Now, this wasn't like your $5 mailbox. This had to be your custom-built $200 mailbox, you know. And did I do it because I was upset? No, I did because sometimes I'm not the best driver and now I have cameras that look behind me. My car now even tells me to brake, tells me to stop. It screams. It has little pictures. I mean, my car, if you hit the right buttons, will drive itself. It's very strange and I don't recommend that because it's too nerve-wracking. But anyhow, and everybody who sat in my car said, it's not as nerve-wracking as when you drove. No, just kidding. Anyway. I didn't know that when I bought this car. I didn't know I got one of these new up-and-coming features that they're making available because all the teens won't quit texting while they're driving, so we got to take their hands off the controls. Anyhow, so But I ran to the mailbox, and this is years and years ago. We're looking 25, 26 years ago. And I remember the thought was, you know how you just, none of y'all do this, but back then, you just kind of justify, like, okay, well, maybe I didn't do it. Maybe if I just drive off, I'll pretend I didn't do it. And as I'm driving off, the Holy Spirit says, turn around and go back there and leave a note in the mailbox with your phone number so they can call you. Anyway, so I wrote the phone number. I went back and put it in the mailbox. So, and I asked God for mercy. I said, God, would you just give me mercy? Forgive me. Just give me mercy. Mercy means, what would I deserve? I would deserve to have to pay for the mailbox, to have to get it fixed. And so I just thought, Lord, it wasn't even a matter of money for us at that point. It was a matter of, I don't want my husband to have to do this. So I just said, God, give us mercy, give us mercy. When I came back, a neighbor who saw me run into the mailbox says, do you know what you did? And I looked at her, and I'm like, you mean when I hit the mailbox? It's like, yeah, but you drove off. I said, well, it's none of your business, but I actually put a letter in the mailbox with my phone number on. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry and all this. So anyway, the neighbor, when they found out and found out who we were because our situation was in the papers when Lauren died in the tree branch, hit her in the head, they felt so bad for us. So they called us and they said, I just want you to know, we are just praying for your family. And don't you even worry about that mailbox. That's the last thing you need to worry about. We are just praying for your family. And we'll take care of it. I said, well, we really don't mind paying. No, we wouldn't even think of that. We're just really praying for you. What was that? Mercy. God gave me mercy. Amen? God gave me mercy. Let's become merciful. I need to be more merciful. Amen? I need to be more. The Bible says, if you sow mercy, you'll reap in mercy. If you sow judgment, you'll reap judgment. I need to be more merciful. Sometimes I have such a prophetic kind of black and white thinking, like, well, if you do this, then this will happen. Well, truthfully, if you do that, this will happen. But where's mercy in that? Amen? Amen? And so I'm asking, Lord, and I need to go re-listen to my own teaching on mercy. We need to be a merciful people in these days. We need to be a merciful people to the rest of the world. We can't get our hearts hardened as we watch some very innocent people at these border walls who are a political con, you know, in the midst of this stuff. Now, I don't think lawlessness is the answer, and I don't think people flooding a nation and bringing more people to flood a nation illegally is an answer. Our nation, our immigrants in this nation are supposed to melt into the culture of this nation, and we've allowed too many people in who don't want to melt. And when you don't want to melt, you're having civil war within your own nation, amen? And we need to take care of the people who are here. And we really need to do these things for God's love, amen? But at the same time, we don't want to become hard-hearted when you look at those people in the television news who are camping out and trying to feed their babies, and now they have to get back home because most of them were given money to come and given lies to come, amen? So my heart, we have to keep our hearts merciful, amen? It's very easy watching the news to become hardened, amen? It's very easy to get opinionated, at least for me. And so it's like, Lord, give us mercy. So he says, God is rich in mercy, rich in mercy. You know, maybe we should pray more for that kind of wealth. Maybe we should pray for that kind of wealth. Lord, make me rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. Amen. We do not get saved to not go to hell. We get saved because we want a relationship with a God who loves us and wants a relationship with us. Amen? Amen? The only motive for getting saved should be, I want to know this God who created me, who loves me, and who has made a way for me to have a relationship with him. I wish we could all value that we can have a relationship with God more than we value anything else. Everything else, sin would lose it. So I'd be dead to sin. You would be dead to sin if you entered into this love relationship with God. I remember Edie before, she's not here this morning because her son's in town and they're having a Thanksgiving today, but she, you know, when she came to Beauty for Ashes, and she had addiction issues with alcohol and a little bit with drugs, but mainly alcohol, and so she went to a counselor center here, and she thought it was her husband had all the problems, so they started talking, found out how much she had an addiction problem, and because she could hold a job and do some things okay, she thought it wasn't a problem. But truthfully, she drank every single day. She drank to go to sleep. She drank to forget the care. She'd wait till a certain time at night when the kids were in bed. And she really had a problem. And I've watched other people come in and out who go back to their addictions. I watch it all the time. And I was like, So I asked Edie, I said, what is it that kept you from going back? Now, I've watched her get close. That's why coming on Tuesday nights and getting a group of friends and really having people, not people who are going to agree with poor you, but people who are going to say, you need to serve God. You need to wake up and quit focusing on you. You need to focus on Jesus Christ. Something's wrong in your heart that you're thinking of going back. Amen? Can I say that? If you want to sin, there's something wrong in your heart. You don't use sin in God's face as, if you don't do this for me, God, I'm going to sin against you. Do you understand? You don't play those kind of games with God. Do you understand that? We live in a culture where people think we can just control and manipulate, but God's not like that, people. God's like, you know what? If you want to go back to your garbage, I'll call you a dog according to my word, and you return to your vomit, and you'll go to hell. Jesus Christ died to save us from hell. He owes us nothing. We owe him everything. Amen? We owe him everything. And if we think we can get in his faith with sin, we are so wrong. We are playing a very dangerous game. So I asked Edie, I said, what has kept you? Because I watched her. I watched her, you know, struggle and want to go back. And when it all came down to it, she said, I just could not do that to God. I just could not do that to God. When you guys are struggling with culturally accepted sin, you need to get that fear of the Lord revelation. I can't do that to you, God. I can't do that to you, God. Amen? I just can't do that to God. He's God. He died for me. He saved me. He loves me. He lives inside of me. I can't do that. What if he took his spirit from you the minute you do that and it's over for you? I know I've told this story before too, but I'm so thankful for the fear of the Lord. This is way back. This is before Lauren went to be with the Lord. This is before I had any tragedies. This is when I had a really great, I still have a great life, but this is before the devil hit me hard. And I had just found Jesus in a real way, and I was really living for God in a real way. And my temptation was those stupid movies that had just played around with sexual sin, like you know, those college, this is years ago. You're looking 20, 30 years ago. But like I don't know even the names of them, but the stuff that had sexual sin in them, but it made it kind of humorous, just movies kind of stuff, soap opera kind of stuff. And I just wanted to watch. This one I saw was on TV, and I was going to watch it. And Lord said, you don't watch that anymore. First thing he did when I really gave my life to him is he said, no more soap operas, no more Dallas, no more Knots Landing. I'm showing how old I am. No more of this stuff. And I'm sitting there, and that flesh in me said, it's not going to hurt me to watch this. And then I felt like the presence of God left me. And I turned the TV off so fast, and I honestly thought he had left me. It was the most horrible feeling. And I cried, and I screamed out, and I really didn't know, is he ever going to come back? Am I ever going to feel him like that again? And I cried, and I cried, and it was quite a few hours later before I felt the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said to me, you need to fear me. We take this Christian walk as if it's a guarantee God's not, he's going to be good no matter what. And folks, you're not reading the Bible. He is good no matter what, but he's not playing your games with you. You cannot be double-minded and get anything from God. You cannot serve the devil and God. If you're serving the devil and God, you're actually just serving the devil. Amen? And it's time for the church to grow up and recognize, So her message was powerful. When Edie just, this brand new believing baby Christian, she goes, I just couldn't do that to God. Some of you need a t-shirt for that right now. If you're struggling with going back to some sin issues or struggling with what the culture says is okay, you need a t-shirt that says, I just couldn't do that to God. Amen? I just couldn't do that to God. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. I could not do that to God. God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even we being dead in sin. In other words, while we were still dead because we were in sin, we were going to hell, we were dead, we were the walking dead. Even in that place of being a blatant sinner, he made us alive together with Christ. God made the way to say, I'm taking you out of your death place and I'm bringing you into eternal life. Can I tell you this? There's no in-between place. Amen? There's the place called the shadow or the valley of death. The shadow of the valley of death. Amen? Amen? That's that in between. There's the place called the Valley of Decision. It's a very dangerous place to be in the kingdom of God and go back to the Valley of Decision, because it means I'm rethinking this. And this time I might choose not to serve God. You walk out of that valley back into sin, and I believe there's nothing left to save you. Now, I'm not talking about backsliding's bad and God is merciful, amen? I'm talking about a blatant decision to go back to sin, a blatant decision to live in darkness. And you don't want to play that. I'm just promising you, Satan can come back 7 times worse than he was before you were walking with God. And I know too many of your testimonies, 7 times worse, you wouldn't be here long. Amen. You know, we had a person here who got healed of AIDS, completely healed of AIDS. What a miracle. Completely healed of AIDS. The problem was they never admitted they had a homosexual issue. They wanted everybody to think they were a womanizer, because somehow that was more culturally accepted back then. So instead of dealing with their homosexual issue, as long as they had AIDS, there was no temptation because they didn't have a spirit of murder. In other words, they weren't going to pass that AIDS around. So as long as they had AIDS, they weren't even tempted, because they would say no to that. Amen? Amen? And when they weren't tempted, they took that to think they were delivered. Well, they were never delivered from homosexuality because they never asked to be delivered. They never dealt with it. They hid it. So what happened when they got healed from AIDS? The temptation for homosexuality came back, and they fell for it, and they got AIDS again. And because of the sinful stuff they kept doing, they were thrown out of this church. Why? Because that's the Bible. Because that's the Bible. You get turned over to Satan so that your soul might get saved, that you don't keep playing games of manipulation and control and kidding yourself. You know, God wants us to quit kidding ourselves, amen? We got to quit kidding ourselves. This salvation cost God everything, and it is such a privilege and honor, and I'm just over so much of the church thinks they're saved. There are a lot of people sitting in church this morning, the one-hour services, who are going to hell because they're going to go home to fornication. They're going to go home to addiction and issues. And the Bible says none of that gets into heaven. When is the church going to preach the true message? You got to decide today you're dead to sin, period. You're going to cast out imaginations. You're not going to deal with it. You're not going to put yourself through that anymore. You're not going to put your family through it. You're just not going to do that to God. Amen? End of discussion. End of thoughts about it. It's not happening. Amen? I learned this about torment a long time ago. The minute that I don't recognize myself as dead to sin, the minute I start to question what God has already showed me and taught me, you open yourself up to torment. Amen? Torment is this place where Satan is now talking to you. Satan is now leading you. Torment is Satan trying to get you back into sin. He's trying to get you away from truth. Amen? And so when God shows you something, you close the door on it. When God showed me he took my sorrow, my grief, amen? Thank you, Jesus. And pastors couldn't understand how God could take sorrow and grief, even though it's in the Word, even though God did it, even though he showed it to me in the Word. But then I go and I hear pastors trying to tell me, no, you're in denial and all this stuff. Well, I didn't want to be in denial. I'm okay. I'll walk through whatever I have to walk through. Amen. I've never been one trying to run away from everything. I'm going to run into it. Lord, show me. But it wasn't true. But the minute I begin to say, what, am I in denial? The minute I, what, came in agreement with Satan's lie. The minute you come in agreement with Satan's lie. You ready for this? The minute you come in agreement with Satan's lie, even a little bit, even thinking might come in agreement, Satan will begin to torment you. What's torment? God talking in your head. The devil talking in your head. The devil trying to get you to let him be in charge. Amen? How many have seen their lives, even after believers, being tormented sometimes? You've opened that door. You've opened that door to a lie. You've opened that door. And then we try to blame everything else. Don't blame everything else. Just go back and close that door and kick the enemy out of your thought life. Amen? Amen? There's the power of life and death is in your tongue, right? Jesus says, if a man thinks it in his heart, he's already done it. Why? Because the minute I let that thought into my heart, it's going to come out of my mouth, and then I've opened the way for demons to come and make that thing happen. Amen? So we've got to repent. We got to break the power of those lies. We got to break them off. We got to take spiritual warfare really seriously. Amen? Because Jesus Christ gave us the weapons of warfare to win with that. This is really cool because I know I'm preaching to people I need to be preaching to this morning, and this is where we were to preach next that we skipped last week, because if I preached it last week, I wouldn't be preaching this week, and God knew who needed to hear it this week. Whew. Now listen to this. Even we did in sin, he made us alive together with Christ. It's by his grace we're saved. And he also did this. Ready? You didn't just get born again. He raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Amen? That needs to be real. Remember, Ephesians is the deep meat. These are people who 2 years Paul spoke to and taught them the deeper things of God. Amen? We need to get to a place to recognize, not only am I dead to sin, I am now seated with Christ Jesus in heavenlies. I'm going to know how to pray. I'm going to know how to do spiritual warfare. I'm going to know how to change nations through prayer. I'm going to know how to see God move in my situations, all my health, my family. Amen? Amen? Okay? Got it? We're not just going to stay infants. We're going to actually grow up in this. And part of growing up to this, here God says, look, forget sin. You're dead to sin. But come and rule and reign with me. Come and hang out in heavenly places. Come up here where you're more powerful than the wealthiest person. I have more power than the president of the United States. I want you to say, I have more power than the president of the United States. I submit to his authority as a Christian, as an American. Amen? But I have more power. Why? Because I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I am ruling and reigning from heaven. Amen? But I'm only going to use the power that he's given me, led by his Spirit, to do what he wants done. Amen? I'm not going to be tempted to sin. Some of you need to get your self-esteem from who you are in Christ Jesus. But if you keep playing with sin and stay in that place of torment, you're not going to live that reality. You get to choose. Nobody chooses it for you. You get to choose, and you'll stand before God about your choice. Amen? He raised us up together, seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Why? That he might demonstrate in the ages coming the exceedingly great riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I want everybody to get this. I want everybody to get this. God did all this. He left us alive after we got saved and said, just bring us to heaven. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And then he says, now, you are going to be my people who are dead to sin. Dead to sin. You need a sword of the Spirit. That means a word to stop the enemy. Just say, I'm dead to sin. When Satan says, you need to, I'm dead to sin. When Satan tries, I'm dead to sin. When Satan tries, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to, you don't need a lot for a sword. Sometimes a really sharp sword, really fast. I'm dead to sin, not going there. 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 Amen? Let me hear you say it. I'm just interested in not going there. When you want to have a fight with your spouse, I can say it, Stanley. I'm dead to sin not going there. Amen. When you want to lie to your boss, I'm dead to sin not going there. Amen. When parties come along for the holiday season and somebody says, oh, what's one drink going to hurt? I'm dead to sin not going there. Amen. This is all you need. This is all you need. You think you need a gigantic bunch of things to do and programs and this and that. This is more than the 12 step. Amen. This is the one step. I'm dead to sin, not going there in Christ Jesus. Amen. I choose to live in the revelation that I'm going to rule and reign with him. Satan, shut up. You are under my feet in Jesus' name. I have authority over you in Jesus' name. You have no power in Jesus' name. You will not. Think about this. When you give in to sin, amen, when you give in to sin and lust, I don't care if the culture accepts it. When you give in to it, you are bowing your knee to Satan. And you think that's going to help a marriage? That's your future marriage? For those who are listening and watching, who Satan wants you to give into sexual sin before marriage, you really think that bowing your knee to Satan's going to help that relationship? You really think bowing your knee to Satan's going to help you keep that job? If you got to bow your knee to Satan to keep a job, God will get you a better job. Amen? Amen. If you got to bow your knee to the devil to not be depressed, then you don't understand the joy of the Lord is your strength. You got to make the decision, people, and you got to preach it the way you need to your family. You got to tell your kids. in love what God says about it. I choose to rule and reign with Christ. I choose to be seated in heavenly places for real, hanging out with God, feeling his presence, worshiping, enjoying his presence, seeing his power come, having his riches of who we are in him, and I am dead to sin. See, the problem with most Christians in America is we don't die to sin. We just want to be alive in Christ. There's even wrong doctrine trying to say that's okay. That's not okay. Amen? God can give nothing to a double-minded person. I've gone everywhere and I can't get help. God can give nothing to a double-minded person. Amen? Amen? How much can he give to a double-minded person? Nothing. I went there and I got nothing. You're double-minded. That's when you get to decide, no, I'm not living in both worlds anymore. It's not even an option for me anymore. Sin is not an option. Sin is just not an option. If you need deliverance from that, lay hands on yourself and say, devil, get out. You have no authority. I live for Jesus Christ. That's who I'm living for. That's who I'm living for. Spirit of lust, come out. Spirit of addiction, come out. Spirit of uncleanness, come out. Spirit of gluttony, come out. Amen? Let's be the people of God who live it. And let's be the people of God who recognize that I'm ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus and I'm dead to sin. Can you understand why Satan wants you to sin? Wouldn't you be a little ticked off if you were the devil and some plain little old person who you used to beat up all the time, who used to serve you day and night, who you owned all their family members, and all of a sudden God seats them next to Jesus Christ in the heavenlies and they have authority over you? They have authority over your demons. They have authority over every demonic thing. They have authority to change nations. They have authority. Don't you think the devil wants you alive to sin? Yes. Amen? He works so hard at it because he wants to get you where you are not seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many want their prayers to be powerful? How many want to see salvation for families, healing for families, deliverance? How many want to see financial breakthrough? How many want to see this nation turn to Christ? How many want to see? Then look, guess what, people? We're going to be the people dead to sin. Amen. Amen? Just that easy. Just say it. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. Well, it's not that easy to say. Yes, it is. Life and death is in your mouth. And if you said the other for a long time, you're going to have to say this for a long time. Good gosh, every time you speak death, every time you speak what Satan wants you to speak, you just gave more demons power to attack you. So repentance is a good place to start. God, forgive me for opening the door for so much demonic torment. Forgive me for blaming anybody else. Lord, help me, set me free. Amen. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you for your word. I thank you there's power in your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you know the hearts of people in this place. Lord, I pray you set people free from double-mindedness. Lord, I ask you set people free from bitterness and pain. Lord, you know that people are crying out to you. And Jesus, you know you have made a way. Lord, I pray today that we will make the decisions that we are dead to sin. We will make it according to your word. This is what you want it taught this morning. And we just come in agreement with your word. And Lord, not only do we agree with you that we're dead to sin, and we just declare it and we mean it. And Lord, we ask you to heal anything in our hearts that don't agree with that. We ask you to make that so real in our lives, God, that it'll be so easy to stand against the enemy. At the same time, God, I thank you for the awesome privilege to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I thank you for the awesome privilege to be able to pray and see power in my prayers. I thank you for the privilege that prayers that are righteous, Lord, that actually do something. And I thank you, God, for this, everyone in this place, Lord God, that we will see suddenly miracles this year for our families. I thank you, God, even as Paul had unusual miracles that came forth from his life, his hands, that we will be a people in this house who have that kind of miracles, that you give us a reputation of having miracles, God. Unusual miracles, powerful miracles. I see now, God, why we have so many powerful testimonies in this house, because this is a place that you've called to train up people even as Paul went and trained up those hungry people. That's what you're doing here. That's what we're going to take to the nations. And we give you praise for it, Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for bringing deliverance to people right now. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that your spirit would come and bring deliverance to people who have given in to any of these tormenting thoughts. Lord, if there's anyone who's begun to give in to any of these lies of the enemy, to take them backward, to take them to the area of sin, I ask right now by the Holy Spirit power that you would just come in this place. Whoa. And sweep over this place and bring complete deliverance. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. We ask it in Jesus' mighty, powerful name. If you feel like you want a touch from God to help you to say, yes, I'm dead to sin, to get you free from anything that's attacking, then I want you to come and line up. We're going to pray for you. Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.